Our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 John 5. These words, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is relatively unknown. It's relatively unknown that for the first 300 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it's not commonly understood that Christianity, for its first three centuries, that Christians lived under the thumb of the world, under the threat of the governments of the world, under the fear of being betrayed by the world, betrayed by friends, betrayed by neighbors and acquaintances, and then persecuted and even killed. So it's relatively unknown as well that for the first three centuries of Christianity, the faith of each individual Christian had to remain hidden, unrevealed, unknown. Why? Why? Well, up until the time of Emperor Constantine, that is up until the beginning of the fourth century, it was not too easy to be a Christian in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire already had a religion, an official religion, and Christians did not confess it. They even rejected it. And no other religions except for Judaism were allowed within the Roman Empire except for its official religion, which was headed up by the emperor, who was its high priest. So it's only when Constantine became emperor and Christianity as a religion was declared no longer to be illegal to practice within the Roman Empire, that Christians could live. Christians could live as Christians openly. But what did it look like before that happened? What was it like being a Christian before the time of Constantine? During those three centuries right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what was the Christian life from around AD 33 to AD 333? It was one of knowing the truth, but not being able to proclaim it openly. The Christian life was one of knowing the true God, but not being able to worship Him publicly. The life in Christ at that time was one of knowing the way and the truth and the life and living daily by faith while all the world around the Christians lived in ignorance of their origin, and all the people then worshiping death for all intents and purposes. For what were they worshiping, those Romans, the people throughout the Roman Empire, all the different peoples? They were worshiping lifeless man-made gods and celebrating fictitious events and believing whatever superstition seemed beneficial to them at the moment. Government persecution? It was never empire-wide for the Christians, but it was on the books. And it did occur in regions, and sometimes viciously so. Strange and odd rumors about Christians? There were those aplenty, Christians taken to be foolish and stupid and naive. Moral issues within Roman society facing Christians. Publicly practiced and condoned homosexuality. The exposing of unwanted newborn infants, that is, leaving them out in the open to die. There was abuse of all sorts, and slavery and taxation, which was sometimes just and other times unjust. Wars, there were plenty of wars, as well as insurrections and rebellions and violent overthrows of governments. Scandals, there were almost unendingly. The Emperor Nero, for example, murdering his own mother and then murdering his wife and then murdering his second wife. That was the emperor. Yes, if you were a Christian during the first 3 centuries of Christianity within the Roman Empire, you would have been living in some very, very, very troubling times. So how could you go on? How could you go on? What was going to happen? What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to the world around you? And yet, during those times, those first 3 centuries after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, faith in Christ actually grew. And it grew steadily throughout the Roman Empire. But faith in Jesus Christ did not grow and grow steadily throughout the Roman Empire because it became the official religion of that empire. Not then. Nor did faith in Jesus grow because it was the religion of the populace, of the culture. Nor did faith in Jesus grow during those first 3 centuries because it gave the Christians in particular a leg up in the world, a way to capitalize on the world and therefore grow in wealth, in fame, and in power. No, Christian faith grew and spread throughout the Roman Empire because it was only through faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that life in such a Roman Empire could be lived in peace and contentment, in spite of the situations Christians found themselves in. Now, how could that be? How could that be? Well, the Apostle John put it simply and clearly in his first epistle, the 5th chapter. We know, this is what he wrote there, so the Holy Spirit wrote, we know that we are of God. We are of God. And the whole world is in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding to know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true. In His Son, Jesus Christ. This, the true God, and eternal life. You see, this was the overcoming of the world to which our text refers. Our text that asserts everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That is, everyone who is born of God, born of the Spirit of God, recreated, renewed, regenerated by the Holy Spirit to live daily in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, knows what's really going on. What's really going on in the world. Knowing what's really going on, we can really, day to day to day, live in peace. For in a very real sense, when Christ rose again from the dead, he demonstrated that whatever the world thinks it is, Christ actually knew what it was and did that which needed to be done in order to bring life, that is, true life and immortality, to light within the world. He was the light that shone in the darkness. Remember, that's how the Gospel of John begins. This idea that Christ is a light that shines in the darkness. Jesus lived a sinless life and then offered himself as a sinless sacrifice for the world. God then, in response, raised him from the dead and gave him all power and authority over mankind, whose reality in that resurrection he had smashed. The whole world is indeed under the power of the evil one. It's really skewed. And our flesh is infected by that which the evil one causes, sin. And the end result of sin is death. So when Christ rose again from the dead, when Christ emerged undead from death, Christ showed he had overcome sin. And having overcome sin, Christ showed that he had overcome the evil one. So to understand who we truly are today and what the world is, the only answer is Jesus. Jesus Christ. Being reborn in Jesus through water and the Holy Spirit, believing in Jesus and thus being born of God. And being born of God, what can we do then but live each day with an understanding of the Word, of the world, the truth of Jesus that day to day to day overcomes the world. And it does, this truth of Jesus that we know. It overcomes the world. How do we understand this? One way is to remember what it was like as children being tricked by friends and siblings alike and learning what each trick was so that we eventually would not be tricked anymore. For example, I've mentioned before how my brother, my older brother, 6 years older, traded me his nickel for my dime when I was about 3 years old. For obviously, since it was bigger, the nickel was worth more. So he said, lesson learned as a three-year-old. What about classic knock-knock jokes? If we didn't learn the punchlines and remember them, we'd be the laughingstock of our friends and siblings again and again and again. So we had to learn them. They had to be lessons for us. What about textbooks in school in which someone had written, turn to page 214, and you turn to page 214. And when you turn to page 214, it said, turn to page 31, you turn to page 31. And you got to 31, it said, turn to page 175, and you turned to page, and you were like, oh yeah, okay, lesson learned. So part of growing up was learning not to be fooled by the world, deceived or misled. But the point of the Apostle Paul, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, was that an overcoming of the world was not in learning all of its tricks, its foolishnesses, and its deceptions and subterfuges, but by learning that the truth of what the world is right now and how to live in the world right now and so how to live constantly as one who has overcome the world is found only in faith in Jesus as the Son of God. For what happened when we finally learned all the tricks and deceptions of childhood? We could live knowing that we would not be tricked or deceived anymore. That was the end result of learning all of that. Well, that's what happens in general when we live daily in Christ through faith in Christ. It's not that we will not be tricked or deceived or scammed by the world. It's that we know that the world with the evil one at its helm is all about tricking, all about deceiving and scamming. So when it's attempted, it shouldn't be of any surprise to us. So we sing in that end times hymn, "The world is very evil." The world is very evil. The times are waxing late. Be sober, keep vigil. The judge is at the gate. The judge that comes in mercy, the judge that comes with might, to terminate the evil, to diadem the right. To diadem the right. What does that mean? To finally expose what is evil as evil and glorify good as good. But until that day, day of Christ's return, our overcoming of the world is simply in our knowledge of the truth, our faith in the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sin, for our life here and in eternity, and for our salvation. But the world shouldn't be that way, Pastor. Shouldn't be that way. Yeah, you're right. You're right. What is the news every night but a half an hour of what the world shouldn't be? That's what the news is. But we know in Christ why it is that way. And that often is enough. That often is enough. So can we still live in such a world, though? Or must the world be like we want it to be in order for us to live within it? Must the world be like we want it to be for us to live within it? I mean, that's the same challenge our children present to us, isn't it? Our children present to us microcosms of the world and the question as to whether or not we can live in it. Now, how's that? Well, sometimes you might have noticed our children do things they shouldn't do. And so, things we don't like, things that we do not like. So what then? What then? What do we do? Do we abandon them? Do we cease to love them? Do we demand perfection from them before they receive affection from us? Is that how it works? Of course not. We don't condone sin. But at the same time, we realize that the children we're raising are sinners. Sinners just like we are. And if we don't realize that, how can we be the parents to those children that we should be? Our children, after all, were born in sin just like we were. Their sinful actions, therefore, are not a result of our lousy parenting as much as their origin. Now that's a horrific realization. Until we come to admit that that is the situation. Truly and really. And overcoming that situation is in being able to love our children as our Father in heaven loves us, and as the Holy Spirit loves us, and as our Savior Jesus Christ loves us. Without the truth of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, his overcoming of sin and the evil one, and then our subsequent baptism into Christ, into that victory, into that resurrection, into that life, we have no leg. We have no leg to stand on, no perspective to deal with any aspect of the world except for our best guesses and our gut feelings and the latest of self-help bestsellers. For everyone who's been born of the world overcomes the world. So our text. And it continues. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So do we want to overcome the world in which we live right now? Let's do what Scripture says. Let's start and continue with believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.